How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I want to tell you about a man who lives in Nancy Guthrie's neighborhood. He is not a suspect. I in no way, shape, or form in saying that, because in no way, shape, or form do I feel or believe that in any, because This is not somebody who's a person of interest. This is someone who might be thinking they're lucky stars right now. If I were him, I might be. That it wasn't me. I'm not accusing this man of anything. No one is. But his name is in the public record, and what he does for a living changes the way you look at this entire case. His name is Dr. Peter McGaugh. He's a geologist out of the University of Arizona. Very accomplished man, smart man, does some really neat work. He co-founded a publicly traded silver mining company called Mag Silver. They literally named a mineral after him. Peter Megwhite. I know. But here's why he matters to this story. For over 40 years, the man has been the exhibits chair, or one of them, for the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. It's the largest event of its kind on the planet. He's the one who brings specimens in from museums and private collections around the world. I mean, how interesting would that be? The Arizona Daily Star photographed him organizing minerals at his Northside home for the show. He stores and works with his personal collections, allegedly at his house sometimes, decades of field work, Mexican silver, rare specimens, 40 years of collecting. This is like, wow, accomplished. His house is in the Catalina foothills. His house is literally a gem's throw away from Nancy's door. That's how close. The week Nancy vanished from her bed, the big Tucson Gem Show was running. It was going on. He was quoted in local media talking about the exhibits and in one detail about that crime scene that's been sitting in plain sight since the case began. And I don't hear nearly enough people asking what it means. Nothing. Nothing was taken from Nancy's house. Nothing. People ask, well, what was taken? Nothing. Nothing was taken from Nancy's house. And the man on Nancy's porch that night gave himself away with a single piece of gear. I'm going to get back to that too. Investigators kept circling one specific date, weeks before she disappeared, January 11th. The date is either the strongest thread in this whole lane or the one that cuts it. And we'll get there too. Dr. McGaugh is not under any sort of investigation. He's not involved. If this theory is right, he's a near victim. The person whose home might have been the actual target. Everything that we're talking about is public record. University pages, newspaper articles, industry profiles. He is a public figure. And if this lane has legs, what happened to Nancy Guthrie is something that may have almost happened to him. Or was there never any intent for any human being to be involved? It was all about the minerals, the gems. Every winter for about 3 weeks, the city where both of these people live turns into the single largest concentration of portable, untraceable wealth in America. The Tucson Gem and Mineral and Fossils Showcased. 60,000 people from more than 20 countries, north of $280 million in direct spending. Loose stones, gold, finished jewelry, cash that never touches a bank. Some dealers store inventory in hotel rooms, some keep it in trailers, some take it home at night. And the people who come to steal aren't a theory. They're in the police files. The Tucson police gear up every single year, extra officers on the street, undercover and off duty specifically to catch the people who trail the gem money into town. They've been doing this for decades because thefts spike during the show. This is not up for debate. It does. Break-in spike just weeks before the 26th show. A dealer's storage container near Arva Valley got hit on Christmas Day. Hundreds of hours of work in flatstones and fossils gone. A year earlier, a dealer lost nearly $1 million in Oregon sunstones out of a trailer overnight. Vendors at the public shows say they spend more time watching for thieves than making sales. And it hasn't stayed a theft. In one Pima County case, two gem dealers walked into their hotel room, found armed men waiting with guns and a stun device. They got tied up. The crew walked out with more than $1 million. The suspects got tracked to California and arrested with the cash and a BMW they'd bought with the proceeds. The charges included kidnapping, armed robbery, and aggravated assault. So gem show crime escalating to the point where someone gets physically taken, that's not a stretch. It's actually a docket number. Now, think about what a crew in town for the show would see if they had heard about a collector up in the Catalina foothills. Not a hotel room, not a tent, a private home in a neighborhood with no streetlights, where the roads wind through the desert and the houses sit an acre apart behind cactus and brush. And inside one of those houses, a personal mineral collection built over 40 years by the man who runs the biggest show on earth. That's not a difficult target to hear about. Dr. McGaw is a public figure. He's been in the newspaper. He's on the university's website. He speaks at international events. The crew doesn't need inside information to know a collector lives up there. They need Google. 5 minutes in a phone. And the Jewelers Security Alliance saw the same connection. It ain't just me. After Nancy vanished, the JSA issued a crime alert to the entire jewelry trade. They offered a $10,000 reward and then specifically cited the Guthrie family's ties to the jewelry industry as the reason. Because Nancy's daughter, Annie, is a working jeweler in Tucson. She's been making custom pieces in platinum, gold, and silver for over a decade. She has a metal smithing shop. She lives in the foothills near her mother. Annie and her husband were the last people to see Nancy alive that night. They had dinner together and dropped her at her door. The JSA asked everyone who attended the 26 shows to come forward, including international colleagues, a major industry security organization, putting their name and their money behind the gem show connection. They didn't do it casually. They saw immediately, this is weird. This seems too close to home. Might there be a connection in some way, shape, or form to our industry, to our world? Did somebody see Nancy as a way to siphon money off of the family or get gems, or did they just go to the wrong house? A house with a address that's literally one digit off from Nancy's. You could throw a gem and hit the gem house. A world-class mineral collector in the neighborhood, his show running the exact week, a jeweler in the same family living nearby, the industry's own security organization putting money on the connection, and a decades-long pattern of gem show crews following the money into Tucson and turning violent. All of that is real. All of that lines up. Now look at the man on the porch. I'm not going to walk through the doorbell footage frame by frame. You've seen it. What it tells you matters. His backpack is a 25-liter Ozark Trail hiker pack from Walmart. The mask matches one Walmart sells. Investigators reportedly chased the idea as his whole outfit came off the same shelves. And his holster, this is the detail I told you about. It's riding dead center on the front of his waist in a position one veteran said she'd never seen in her career. That's not how someone who's carried a weapon before wears one. A profiler said it plainly. Some criminal sense here, not police trained, not military trained. And a retired FBI agent spotted what appears to be possibly a handheld radio antenna, meaning maybe at least one more person was out there in the dark. That's not a transactional crypto syndicate. That's a small crew under-equipped in over their heads. The kind that follows gem money from city to city, hitting shows in Tucson, Denver, Las Vegas, wherever the dealers gather, and disappearing before anyone connects the dots. Of course, there's the ransom notes. Almost every investigator who's examined them publicly has serious doubts. At CrimeCon, panel went down the line. No proof of life, no working channel, nobody believed it. Sent to TMZ, one detective called them parasitic. A man in Southern California got federally charged for sending one of the bogus demands and admitted he'd pulled the family's information off a website. Even Savannah Guthrie said on national television she believed most of them were fake. Strip them away and the sophisticated international plot disappears with them. What you're left looking at is a break-in that went wrong and a swarm of opportunists who crawled in after. And Nancy was taken from her house. Nothing else was taken from Nancy Guthrie's house. No ransacking, no emptied safe, no missing jewelry, no haul. There's been no indication that valuables were taken from her property. Somebody breaks in with a gun and walks out with nothing but a person they don't even really want. That's a strange robbery. Unless the score was supposed to be somewhere else, unless the stones and the gold, the decades of specimens were supposed to be behind that door, and they weren't, because the crew picked the wrong house on a dark road where you can't tell one driveway from the next. And the dot on Google, little pin, happens to show up in possibly the wrong spot. A mineral collection sits in a house nearby, Nancy's house. Heart medication and family photos. A crew expected one and found the other. And now they've got an 84-year-old woman who's seen them, or who they think has seen them. There's blood on her porch, which means she fought. Their DNA might be on her. And they panic. They take her, not because she was the target, because she became the problem. And once you've taken an 84-year-old woman who needs daily medication, who has a pacemaker, who can't walk far on her own, there's no clean way out. These crews don't stick around. They blow into the city, work it, they disappear, no local address, no connections. By the time the case goes national, they're working the next show in the next city, watching the coverage on their phones. Or in this case, disposing of Nancy in a desert somewhere and getting the hell out of Dodge. It would also track, possibly, if the reports are correct, with a letter that came. I don't even call it ransom because it wasn't. But there are many reputable outlets reporting now about one of the letters being an apology of things getting horribly out of hand. And someone showing empathy, someone showing remorse for what took place, not even asking for money, but giving an answer. It would track with the way that Savannah answered those notes. He was speaking to inspire someone to tell where Nancy and her body was. That's what the responses from the Guthries were about. That's how they make sense in context with a note like that. Inspiring them or trying to inspire the person who seems to have some empathy that is apologizing to tell us where she is. Just let us know. Do the right thing. I know. It all tracks, doesn't it? It's a theory. I'm not saying this is what happened, but I'm saying of everything I've run my mind through in the last 5-6 months, this is the one that seems to have the most logical and simplistic route, but tracks. But let's be honest about the parts that that aren't clean, because this lane deserves some real examination, and we'll base it on what we know. The sheriff has been inside that house and has seen what none of us have. He calls it a targeted kidnapping. He says the open question is money or something personal. He's holding evidence we don't have access to, and that matters. And on January 11th, this is the hardest fact for a wrong targeted theory. Weeks before Nancy vanished, a neighbor clocked a younger man who didn't belong, hat pulled low, dressed wrong for a walk. Investigators kept circling that date, and there's a suggestion the masked man was on that camera before the night she disappeared. That's a suggestion. And if that's true, if somebody cased the house, then somebody knew which house it was, or cased the wrong house. But casing and wrong target aren't enemies. A crew can hear about a collector in the foothills, drive to the neighborhood, study the area, and still lock onto the wrong house off bad information. They could have easily looked at Nancy's house weeks ago, prior to it, and said, oh, this is the house we're going to. Okay, that's it. And it's the wrong house. Just showing up and looking at someone's porch, there is nothing that would have told them this is Nancy's house or this is a gem collector's house. All they had to do was be confused or have slightly wrong information, or a little pin on a little map called Google being off in its geolocation by just a few feet, which happens all the time, especially in a road with no lights, where two high-value connections to the gem would live close together, and every driveway looks the same at 2 a.m. Not proven, but not impossible, and it deserves a seat at the table. There's something that I also can't shake. The sophisticated story, ugly as it is, at least gives you a reason. And I think that's why people tend to go to the more sophisticated route, because it's such an insane shame, and what a waste, what a horrible way for someone who's lived a lovely life at 80-some-year-olds to exit the world in such a senseless way. We seek reason. We try to seek validation for something as horrific as this, to have some sort of a logic to it. The wrong target story takes even that away. It says an 84-year-old woman who loved her quiet street and her desert and her family may have suffered for nothing. A misread address, a cruise, bad night, no grand motive, no meaning, just rotten, ordinary luck and a man in a cheap mask who couldn't even wear his gun right. Nobody in cuffs, no suspect name, a family living in a nightmare with no ending. The real answer is sitting and a strand of hair and a stretch of unknown DNA crawling through a lab while a family waits by the phone. Savannah Guthrie has reportedly spent $500,000 of her own money investigating this. That's reported. It's been also contradicted as well. Take it for what it's worth. I'm sure if you're the family, you're going to be using any resources you have. Lab work might still solve this. One real tip might. Somebody who knows which dark driveway on which winding desert road a crew turned down by mistake, they might. Because the question that keeps this case open isn't who'd want to hurt Nancy Guthrie. It's quieter. It's worse. What if nobody ever meant to hurt her at all? And she's gone anyway. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. We'll continue our conversation right there. Links are in the description. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching so you don't miss any of our conversations. You watch us on YouTube, press subscribe there. Take us with you in the car, on your phone, on your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're everywhere. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and please press subscribe. Until next time, I am Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
5 months, no suspect name, no arrest, over 100 federal agents, and Nancy Guthrie's family is still waiting for a phone call that has not come. You guys have had a lot of questions about the Nancy Guthrie case, and you've been living inside this now almost half a year at this point. People have been looking at satellite images, time-stamping surveillance footage, building theories. You got questions. We're going to try our best to give you some sort of answers as best we can, without going down conspiracy roads too much. But we're more than welcome to examine and parse out any questions you may have. So feel free to drop them in the comment section on Substack and YouTube and Facebook and X and whatever you're watching us live on right now. And if you're watching the replay, go ahead and drop your questions too. We do read them and we can bring them up into another conversation. We're going to talk about Nancy Guthrie this morning. We're also going to be talking about Rex Huerman, answering some of your questions there, and Mackenzie Shirilla from The Crash. So questions in any of those cases, cue them up and drop them here in the comment section. Joining me, as always, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Robin, I've been kind of going down this rabbit hole. I think it was like Friday afternoon I texted you and Todd going, I think I know what it is, as I've done, I think, probably 10 times now in the last half a year. But I don't know, this idea, this area that we were talking about with Coffendaffer the other day, I've been doing more research on. I feel like it may have some legs, and it may have make some sense if there's anything to be made sense of here, where so much does not. So I'm going to start introducing this with a question from a listener. It says, Nancy's neighbor has a YouTube channel where he shows a walk-in vault full of high-value gems and minerals. High-end gem dealer in the area, has been on the board. I'm just telling you what I've researched of whatever the gem group there is in the Tucson area. There was a big convention going on at the time of her disappearance. So there's a lot of people in town for this. We're talking, you know, world-class gem collecting. This isn't just some, you know, side of the road gem stand or something at the checkout at the amusement park. It's a serious collecting. This is serious money in that sort of a world. And literally Nancy's neighbor. I've been saying it for a little bit. What if they went to the wrong house? What if they just simply went to the wrong house? You could literally throw a gem from Nancy's house and hit Gem Guy's house. Now, no way do I think Gem Guy has anything to do with this in terms of any culpability of Nancy disappearing, but more so, I'd be counting my lucky stars saying, I'm glad I didn't get kidnapped, because I think that this person likely had a lot more likelihood, a lot more to give up than possibly Nancy did. What if these guys showed up at the wrong door? What's your thoughts, Robin?
Yeah, it's really, really interesting, Tony. And by the way, welcome to the camper game. We're on the road. So
yes.
Starlink's a little, I got my Bucky shirt on because my wife said I need to do something to demonstrate I'm on the road. Yeah, I think it's got as equal legs as anything else right now. And so here's what I'm thinking. And as that, even as you're saying that, Todd, Tony, I thought of one more thing. And so from the very get-go, I think everyone can agree that they were going for the intent of whoever did this was to get something in this house. What's been going back and forth was what was that intended target? Was it Nancy herself or something else in that house of value? 41 minutes or 42 minutes in the house said to me and a few others, but not everyone, that they couldn't find what they're looking for. Surprise, whatever it was Nancy aware, not aware? That all the parts were kind of falls apart from the initial intent. This now them targeting gems, because remember, I actually looked up, was she known to have any jewelry that they would have had a high value on it, and it wasn't known. Again, we got to also be very careful, and that's why this is a challenge. We don't know what law enforcement knows right now, because mm-hmm. this theory to me has as much legs right now as anything else. Where it loses me a bit is because we haven't had any leakage from anyone, neighbors, law enforcement, FBI, or anyone saying that they've followed up on this theory and debunked it or didn't do it. It's just been silence on this. But here's an interesting thing I want to add to that gives it a little bit more legs for me too. Remember, law enforcement spent a lot of time with Annie's car, Annie's house. Annie also was part of this thing that happened in that town, that jewelry convention, because Annie's also a jeweler. That's why I thought there might have been a tie to jewelry because of her. And then along. So why were they interviewing Annie so much? From my perspective, not because she was ever a suspect. Again, they put the family out first, but maybe she actually has a lot of knowledge about the people, places, and things that were going on at this jewelry thing, because they thought that might have been a target as well.
Which, if there is somebody in that world that did target the jewel guy, not Nancy, that would be the place to look, would be that community, would be that world. And it makes, I have no idea. I would assume that I would hope that they're looking into this. I mean, there's so much so here that I don't have the name of the group, but it was some jewelers association that they've put up $10,000 in reward money because they were concerned that this might be in some way, shape or form connected to gems or jewelry. With the convention going on, that organization said, let's help in any way we can. $10,000 towards a reward, towards information, trying to inspire people within the gem community to come forward with any sort of information. That's not nothing.
Yeah, and I want to add a little bit more to this too, Tony, and the fact that just because we have this one theory that we're posing out there of wrong house of gems doesn't mean that it's exclusive that the others are dismissed as well, because it could have been a very easy mindset for someone that was targeting that we're looking for blockchain because we're looking for crypto as well as gems, because a mindset would be if they have gems, they might have crypto as well. So just because we're adding something to this doesn't mean we're saying that everyone, all these other ideas are wrong or debunked or anything. It's just, I think this just adds another layer for law enforcement to make sure they're flushing out, going down, exploring this, because then there's lots of other interviews you could do. There's just a lot more you can do, because if they're targeting, because again, if you have a group of people or just one or two that are targeting this gem world, jewelry world, there might be footprints that they've done other jobs that have been similar then also around the country. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other things that could be followed up because of it.
I mean, I'd love to know this, and I haven't done research, and I don't know that I'm going to find this answer without reaching out to Jim Guy exactly. I'm wondering if the neighbor was even home that night. With the show going on in town, I'm wondering if, I mean, sometimes, you know, when things like that happen, if it's at a convention center, everything, you got a lot of your stuff there, you're just going to stay at the hotel right by it or whatever. Pure conjecture here. But that I do wonder if that was an empty house that night, and if whoever was showing up expected it to be an empty house that night, too. That I don't know. That's a question I have. Another listener had weighed in here and said, if they realized it was the wrong house once they were inside, an 84-year-old woman, no vault, no gems. Let's say she spots them, she hears something, she gets up. I mean, what do you even do at that point? You can't just leave. She's seen you. Amy on Instagram had that one.
Well, then, then it still becomes, again, rare, but it does happen. The panic escalation with removing her, going for a secondary or even a third. Again, every time we add another layer, it becomes more complicated, and I hate complicated things because it shows that it gives more credit to the morons that are doing this than they actually deserve, not even deserve, but they actually should be even given credit for. Because, and I know people keep saying, well, if he's so stupid, how come he got away with it? Well, it's because he's that stupid that we're overthinking it.
It was that simple of a thing. And we got questions up on the screen right now, or we did for a second there. Let us know what you think there on the survey. What do you think is the most likely explanation in the Nancy Guthrie case? And the chat section. One, you can type your number here. One, they went to the wrong house. Two, it was a targeted attack. Three, the original plan went wrong. Or four, the crypto angle changes everything. Tell us which one you think it might be. And I could see it being a combination of some of those things as well. And if you think it's a combination, do that. And give us a little sentence there as to why you think it was what it may be. And if it's none of those, throw your own opinion up there in the chat. It's, I don't know. I mean, it is such a striking theory to me. I know it's been floating around out there. I don't know why I'm just now kind of diving into it. I think because at the beginning, there was so much noise and so much nonsense that wasn't true. I don't know if the gem guy thing was in my brain thrown into the bucket of a bunch of nonsense and noise, and that there is no gem guy. Turns out there is. Pretty verifiable, yeah, right there.
And I hadn't heard it until you had mentioned it.
Yeah.
But again, it fits nicely. Again, it's our own confirmation bias. Targeted for something in that house that never wasn't found. And if you didn't find something in a house, why wouldn't it have been found in a house if they're targeting something? Well, because wrong house. So it kind of fits that narrative. And then when the narrative fits because of lots of gems next door, because again, everyone kept saying, these things are so tough because the information is so hard to verify because law enforcement saying nothing. And when they do say things, it makes no sense because everything is so challenging because of the lack of, and that's why all these theories keep coming out, because we're getting nothing from anyone on anything, which again means either they're completely incompetent, which I don't totally believe, or they're rapidly following up on the leads they do have and they think they're getting closer.
Well, I mean, it honestly keeps it very simple. If you just take the wrong house out of the equation, if they went to the right house, if this was, you know, a wrench attack, quote unquote, where everybody goes to the crypto thing, you can also do, a wrench attack is it's classified in the world of it's a wrench attack to get your crypto password.
Yep.
But you do a wrench attack to get some gems. If somebody gets a wrench attack to get somebody to open their safe.
Yep.
That's essentially what that is. And if you got a lot of stuff in that safe, that wrench attack can be for that. It doesn't always, I guess, necessarily require a crypto component to it. It requires valuables being able to be obtained quickly and efficiently and without much trace through a threatening act, which may be a wrench. I don't know much about gem thieves. I don't know that there's really stats on gem thieves, but I don't know how sophisticated they might be. I'm sure some could be. You don't probably really need to be. This person didn't look all that sophisticated. They had a backpack that could likely hold a bit of stuff, probably a bunch of gems if they wanted to. Get in, get out. I don't know. I mean, I feel smoke there, but again, there's confirmation bias going on.
Well, there's smoke because nothing else is fitting. And it's not that this is fitting better or worse. It's fitting to me about the same.
So I mean, 45 minutes in the house. Let's examine that angle of it under this this prism of vision that we're looking through right now. 45 minutes, wrong house, looking for the gems. Nancy's there. It's not the gem guy house. What do you do? Is that a 45 minute time span that one would spend in that house in those moments?
Yeah. So when I looked this up at the very beginning, smash and grabs are a lot faster than this. Abductions are a lot faster than this. That's why the theory of not finding something at a house, that's why the delay inside is because nothing else fits the time frame. Generally, I think off the top of my head, I think it was anywhere between as quick as like 6 or 7 minutes and the longest is like 12 minutes for abducting someone or taking something from that house, which also, because I know nothing was taken from the house. Well, if you're looking for high value items in safes, hidden someplace, or even just trying to do a wrench attack on herself to give it up, you're not going to be paying attention to the petty stuff because you're going for the bigger grab.
There's new reporting that has come out over the weekend and this morning from the Daily Mail. I don't have the piece in front of me. I'm just going to try and give a quick synopsis of what they're reporting. It's that the second ransom letter was not a ransom letter, and it was an apology letter because Nancy died. again, we can't confirm its legitimacy. We can't confirm anything, but that's what's being reported right now by the Daily Mail, and some other outlets are saying that too. If it was an apology letter, again, confirmation bias here, but it would play into this that the gem thief didn't intend to go kill anybody. The gem thief wanted gems, and everything went horribly, horribly wrong. If that's true, that plays into this angle even more of something that went horribly wrong. I guess, I mean, it's an interesting, I mean, but let's examine this as a whole for a second. How often do you get an apology letter when somebody gets kidnapped or you take the body or something goes horribly wrong? Sorry, we accidentally killed her. I don't want any money.
Yeah, without doing research, I'm going to say zero.
Yeah.
But it
sounds
also
nice, but
and I couldn't, I tried verifying that as well through credible sources. I couldn't do it. But if you look at, so here's a data point that I think supports that may have happened. And that is the second thing that Savannah put out from her family was very empathetic. It was an empathetic appeal to whoever did this. And so this, if the apology is true, that's someone with empathy, because high level psychopathy where smashing grabs, abductions, you know, things where you're going to do harm to another human being and you don't give a rat's ass, that's high on psychopathy. Sending apology letters is very high on empathetic responses, which is hugely unusual, which again, then if you're looking at the timing of the second thing that Savannah and her family put out, it was very empathetic, you know, any way possible. But now I'm going to do my other side of this. Again, the whole purpose of I love this when we do this together with the audience. This is like, how do you critically think through things, you know, without taking a side? We live in the world of maybe when you don't have all the facts. So that's on the side of that's believable. But on reversal of that one more time is if there was more than one person involved and this one person has high levels of that empathy, the likelihood that they have other people in their lives that have higher levels of empathy is really high as well. In other words, guilt would create leakage. And we haven't seen leakage that anyone's been able to follow. And even with no leakage from anyone else, then why not just let someone know where her body's at? If they're that guilt riddled and feel that bad, then why not? Or if you're listening now and you're the person that did it, just give up the body. There you go. Where is she?
Well, it tracks with the way that the Guthries responded, because we were all going like, this is a weird response. This is very odd the way that this
wasn't transactional. It was empathetic. Yeah,
it was 1000% empathetic. It was about do the right thing. It was not. I mean, it was like, well, pay if you want, but it was more like, you know, I don't want to say we forgive you because it wasn't that, but it was, hey, you know, okay, just do the right thing. Because they clearly, there was something that told them this person had empathy. And nothing that we've seen public facing has said that. So I'm assuming something that they've seen, some sort of communication that they believed was from the person, made them believe there was empathy. I mean, if we're talking and we can't verify, nobody can verify if in fact we're assuming the second letter, let's for a moment really believe that it was an apology of some sort, that Nancy went to go be with God. I believe it was part of the verbiage that was used in there. And I can say that I know that there was religious language used in some of the letters. We do know that from sources, as a fact. That makes me really wonder if this is, you know, the one in a million where it's somebody really did have empathy, this went horribly wrong. But then it also makes me wonder, okay, no leakage. Did they take their own life afterwards too? Now that may be that this is complete conjecture, but that you have nobody that's come forward here. And did they take their own life, if they did, before telling anyone, before anybody else could come forward and say, hey, I know who did this? I don't know. My gut told me at the beginning, this guy's dead for different reasons. But this, I don't know, this would track even more. The death part, the suicide part, that takes it to a different area. But it makes you wonder.
I think it lives in the realm of possibility. Because if it was someone that is empathetic, why wouldn't they continue? It's an interesting dichotomy battling in the brain of someone like this, because typically people with that much empathy aren't going to do things like this to begin with. Mm-hmm. Because if you have that much empathy, you're generally hitting higher on emotional intelligence. You're hitting higher on emotional intelligence means you're a little more functional in life to begin with. So you wouldn't have to do this to begin with, unless there's some massively critical life challenge that you're facing personally or someone close to your life that you think you need to do something like this to save a life. See what I mean? I mean, it gets,
yeah,
but we start going down rapidly complicated areas, which we just don't have any data on.
Well, didn't, I mean, look at it. Look at the statements from Savannah and the family through this light. It sounded like they were talking somebody off a ledge.
Yes, I agree.
And it didn't sound like they were negotiating with somebody who kidnapped their mom. It sounded like they were talking with somebody off a ledge who knew where Nancy's body would be.
I
was the only person who would know that. Yeah.
To me, the second thing that Nancy put out, I mean, that Savannah put out was all about giving someone, and we even said it back then, giving someone the grace to say, hey, we didn't intend this. Just show us where the body is. Let us know where she's at. And you could almost, you know, the person would know there'd be consequences for this if they're caught, but it wouldn't be from Savannah herself, because it did not sound like she wanted to get even. It didn't sound like, you know, the president even came out, you know, there'll be justice. Remember, there was like complete dichotomy between what Savannah was saying and what the president was saying. Two very different messaging. And that's because BAU was working with Savannah and her family on crafting those things. Because again, as these things work, is the family puts together what they think they want to say. And then based on the analysis of the information data they have, the BAU comes in, they craft, they work together, and this is what they put out. So it would stand to reason that that's why, because again, we've heard from people that they think that the first two were real ones.
Yeah.
And the second one was the more empathetic, I'm sorry one. Again, just reported, can't confirm it. It would make sense with the timing of everything we're seeing. But again, the leakage, lack of leakage of anything afterwards. Why? Well, if there's no one around to say anything anymore or want money or even to lead you to, like, that's the one that really gets me, is like, an empathetic person at some point is going to drop enough breadcrumbs to lead investigators toward to where she's at, trying to cover their own bases to save themselves, or maybe not save themselves because they think they're culpable for it. Mm-hmm. Which again, this keeps yanking me back and forth, because empathetic people don't do this, but they do this, they don't do this. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and look at cause and effect here. That's an interesting point you brought up with the BAU working on this. I mean, clearly they were. It was the messaging was very
good,
scripted. It was very targeted. Without a doubt, that's what was going on, that they were looking at communicating and trying to inspire this guy in some sort of a way to come that's forward. That I don't think that, like, anybody would dispute that. And then the president does his verbal diarrhea of the mouth. And then suddenly there's no more communication, because he says, we're going to fucking kill you. Oh, that inspired him for him to go underground or die or disappear, so he doesn't get executed by the government while the BAU is carefully trying to craft this to get him to tell us at least where the body is. But then, motherfucker, guess what? We don't know where Nancy is now. Thank you.
You hate
cause and effect.
You hate to think just one thing could cause it to derail, but you never know.
You never know. I mean, yeah, I mean, that I certainly didn't help the situation. That was not inspiring someone. And that's not a political statement. It's, I don't care who the fuck does that. I don't care what party you are. Whoever would have done that in that sort of a position, derail, could easily have a huge potential to derail all
of that. So the way I see things like this is it was incongruent with the messaging that was being put out.
Yes, regardless of who it is. Anybody who's doing that in a position like that, it's insane.
It was incongruent with what the thoughtful people that were part of the investigation were saying.
It was dangerous and destructive to an investigation. That's my nicer way of saying it. It is. It really is. I mean, that certainly didn't inspire anything. And that's
but like you're saying, though, I would not be surprised if whoever did this, the porch guy, is no longer with us, just because I'm still really surprised again, unless law enforcement, they could know a lot more than we know on right now on the outside. And they actually have a very good idea of who he is, where he is, and what he's doing. And they just got to figure out a way to get at him if he's overseas and across a border someplace, or they have between a handful of people. I don't know. But I would so have expected someone that had that level of empathy to say, I'm sorry, this wasn't supposed to happen in any form or manner. I mean, I even had this on one of my cases. I actually had one of my investigations where I'm trying to recruit a high-level intelligence source from a foreign country, and I was doing a lot of undercover work to do it. And I brought him right to the meeting where he's meeting someone who's going to give some money for some information, and it caught him off guard more than I thought it was going to catch him off guard, because he was totally blindsided apparently by us. He tells his bosses about it. And he's told, in situations like this, you're told, break contact, never meet with these people again. Well, what he did was, instead of just breaking contact, he called me that night and said he wasn't allowed to call me anymore. That's someone who has a deep connection and was empathetic and felt bad, because I actually guilted him to meet me in the first place, because I said, what kind of friend do you think you are? Because you said you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and you never came, you never showed up. My wife's family felt stood up. Thanks a lot, buddy. So that's how, you know, you inspired someone to take action, because you're mm-hmm. using empathy against them. You know, I hate these words too, because back then I had to use what's called strategic and tactical empathy, because he had it. He wasn't a narcissistic psychopathic spy. He actually had a family, cared deeply about them. He was trying to do the right thing. So in that case too, he called me to let me know he could no longer call me, instead of just silence. Mm-hmm. Same yeah. thing here. Highly empathetic individuals do this. People riddled with guilt do this.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. I don't know. I feel like for the first time in a long time, maybe there's some direction here. Who knows? We'll continue to watch. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to break this down.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.